Okay, my name's Russell Spatz. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Russell.
Hey, I'm here for the cake. I don't know. Wow, it's great to see everybody here. It's great to see Andre. I've known him for 7 years, you know, and it's wonderful to see new people and people that are just coming in, and I just love being here. This is more like the 12-step room.
I know.
You know, this, if I remember correctly, I've been doing step series here for over 30 years, every year for 30 years. And if I remember correctly, this is like the oldest step meeting. They used to announce this was the oldest step meeting in the state of Florida or something. I don't know what it is, but I mean, it's like been around for doing it for longer. And I'm 40 years sober. It's been longer than I've been sober. So it's been around for a long time. So it's a great privilege to be here. And we're going to do a little something. I don't know. They said it's a four-step thing, and I'll mention the fourth step. Hey, I mentioned it. Fourth step. Okay. That's it. Okay. So I'll mention a little. You know, we've been talking about the insanity and all sorts of stuff of alcoholism and the real deal that you guys are going to be working on. You know, because after you stop drinking, you know, what you find out is about, you find out about the real disease. You work for 15, 20 years drinking, and you find out after 20, 25 years of drinking, whatever it is, you finally find out that you are addicted to alcohol. You can't stop drinking. You got an alcohol problem. Then you walk into AA, and after listening to a few people, if you're lucky enough, if you're blessed enough, you say, my name is so-and-so, I'm an alcoholic. And you say, I'm home. And you stop drinking. And it's all wonderful. And then after a few months, you find out that that's not even the problem. You find out you're crazy. You don't know how crazy you are, but you really don't. It's impossible to see how crazy you are, because you can't learn about crazy until you experience crazy over a long period of time under different circumstances. You have to go through love affairs and be crazy. You got to go through being broke and being crazy. You got to go through disappointments and being crazy. You got to meet a lot of shitty people and be crazy. You got to meet a lot of people that are not shitty, but you think they're shitty and be crazy. That's the wrongdoings of others, fancied or real. That's like imaginary shit. You got to go crazy over imaginary shit. And after 10 or 15 years, and you get a sort of glimpse of the size of the craziness, you know, and you hear a few speakers and say, man, that guy's crazy. And you say, shit, I was doing that last week, you know. And you sort of like all coalesce until you understand. And then all of a sudden you get like, all of a sudden at 10 years sober, you finally see the second step for what it is. We see that we have there's a power within ourselves that can restore us to sanity. And you say, I was always looking at the power greater than us. And I never looked at the fact that I was insane, I was insane, you know. Got a call from somebody today who was a year sober, and they were going crazy. You know, one of the things that happens is when, after a while, you learn this stuff experientially. You can't learn it logically. You can't learn it logically, because to learn it logically, you would have to run it through, you ready for this? Your brain. Now, let me try to explain this as simply as I can. If you're crazy, running it through your brain does not work. Because you see, the real problem with alcohol, you see, the drinking is just a symptom of the disease. Why is that guy drinking? Because he's crazy. So you stop drinking and the craziness doesn't go away. You just stop getting arrested for DUI. And then 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years or 10 years down the road, whenever it is that it hits you, you look back and you realize that the craziness that you feel, the fear you feel, the hatred you feel, the resentment you feel, the 10,000 thoughts that run through your mind at a million miles per hour, all bad thoughts about yourself and other people, the spending money you don't have, the buy shit you don't need, to impress people you don't like, the the comparing your insides with other people's outsides and saying nobody would understand me. How can I even talk about it? I can't talk. You know, all the crazy machinations of your mind, you know, you realize somehow, wait a second, I've been like this ever since I was 8 years old. And you realize that you were an alcoholic before you started drinking. You were just waiting for the key substance, whether it be cocaine, alcohol, whatever, so that you could go from crazy to blotto. Does anybody know what blotto is? I drank for the noble art of getting bombed. Now listen, it is true. I initially drank to get to that feeling, that spot where I really didn't give a shit what other people think about me. But the truth is, early on, I always seemed to overshoot that spot. You know what I mean? I would go from really feeling good to blotto. And then after a while, I would start drinking. I would go like straight to blotto, like express to blotto. But you want to know something? That was okay, because you want to know something? Because blotto was a lot better than down here on the fucking planet with all the idiots. You understand what I'm saying? And the problem was not the drinking. The drinking became the problem, the biggest problem. So you start thinking it was the problem. The problem was my thinking. And so what happens is you come in here and you stop drinking, and now you're stuck with the thinking. Yeah. And the thinking. And if you're an alcoholic, one of the great things about alcohol is the reason I drank is because no woman, no car, no amount of money, no boat, no nothing ever worked quite as well and quite as fast as just a few drinks. Works fast for me, you know? And sobriety in AA, in the program, doesn't work as fast as scotch. You may have to go to 370 meetings over a period of 2 years to get the same feeling that, you know, like a bottle of scotch will give you in like 5 seconds, you know what I mean? You may have to go through a lot of pain. But what happens is, as you go through these experiences, you know, and the problem is, if you don't deal with the alcoholism, the ism, if you only deal with the drinking, if you come into AA only for the drinking, without question, you will drink again. And so you come in here and you hear people say things like this. I had 7 years and then I drank. Or a guy told me that, he says, you know, I had 13 years and then I drank. I had 6 months and then I drank. I got 20 years and then I drank. And you realize that for every 2,000 or 3,000 people you meet who came in here and got sober, physically sober, over a period of years or months or whatever. So they can't blame the drinking on the fact of the craving, you know, because the craving is you have a drink, then you have another drink, you have another drink and everything like that. They can't blame the drinking on the fact that they crave because they had a drink. Because right before they took the first drink at 10 years, they were sober. And so you realize the problem with alcohol is that they have a state of mind where they're restless, irritable, and discontented, sober. So the problem is, you're gonna drink even if you're sober, if the only thing you're working on is not drinking. Now, to be sure, the first month, the first 2 months, the first 6 months, the first year, they're handing out so many medallions for not drinking. They're celebrating not drinking so much. Yeah, Freddie, you killed 3 nuns and a moose, you know what I mean? And you raped a chicken, that's true. But you didn't have a drink today, did you? No. Hey, you're a winner. Let me tell you something, you know? It is true. It's all about don't drink even if your ass falls off. And you start thinking it's only about the drinking. And a magical thing happens. No matter what you go through, no matter how bad it is, no matter how bad you feel, you can't sleep. You're going nuts. You don't drink, and somehow, some way, you spiritually change. But the truth is, there does come a time in every alcoholic's life, and a real big time when it gets around the sixth step, that separates the men from the boys, or instead of the men from the boys or the women from the girls, the ones that are going to drink from the ones who are not going to drink. See, what the sixth step really is it separate. You know how the sixth step says this is the step that separates the men from the boys? This is the step that separates those that will not make it and not be rocking in the fourth dimension existence from the ones that will. I mean, that's just, I'm just telling you, after 40 years, that's just the truth. And even if you somehow get to the point where you have 20 years sobriety, physical sobriety, you won't be experiencing much of heaven. You won't be rocketed in the fourth dimension of existence. You won't lose fear of people and of economic insecurity. You'll just be dry. And that's been my experience in Alcoholics Anonymous. For every 2,000-3,000 people you meet that has get sober, and everybody gets sober in AA. I mean, I don't know everybody, but you know, the truth is most people come here get sober for a month, 6 months, a year, or something like that. For every 2,000 or 3,000, there's maybe one guy who's got 30 years. And not everybody has 30 years, has 30 years contented sobriety. Because they're not working on the dis-ease. Because they're delusional. Because they're insane. So I have this book, which I now assume everything in it is the truth. Let's make believe, since this is an AA meeting, that everything in the book is the truth. Wouldn't that be amazing? How about this? Let's try this for the next, whatever it is, 10 weeks or how many weeks I'm doing this thing. Let's, no matter what you think in your wonderful brain and whatever I think, that the big book is right. It's the basic text. It's the book we all agree on, right? So let's assume that if we have a choice between what you think and what the big book says, we're going to go with the big book. For instance, the big book says, half measures avail us nothing. Has anybody ever said that? Seen that? You think, this is what you think, half measures avail you 50%. I'm telling you, that's what you think. That's what the sixth step is all about. People who settle, people get off my ass, I'm sober, don't, but you know, well, there's a great, if you get my email, there's a great essay on the, that was written in the 1950s called A Strong Cup of Tea. And it said, when AA started going downhill and getting watered down is when alcoholics realized, because we're very smart and we're very lazy and we balk at everything, you know what I mean? When alcoholics realized for the first time that they could stay sober and they didn't have to do any of this shit. Listen to me. When A first started, was low bottom drugs. They thought they were going to die. They wouldn't let them get into the rooms unless they got on their knees and asked God's help. And when they got on their knees, they were praying. They were using the Bibles. So they found absolutely, so they were fanatical. They were crazy. It was none of this. Well, they had spoken about God stuff because you didn't get in unless you got down on your knees and gave your, you know, that's the way it was. About 5, 10, 15 years later, people were coming into hospital. They were coming and they started realizing alcoholics aren't stupid. That people were staying sober and not doing the fourth step. People were staying sober and not doing the fifth step. People were staying sober and going to only one or two meetings a week. They're not going to meetings at all. I mean, people were staying. Once alcoholics realized that they could stay physically sober and they were here to stay physically sober, and you couldn't talk to them, you can't say it because our chief characteristic is defiance. Our chief characteristic is defiance. So you say to an alcoholic, well, maybe you should go to, he says, hey, get off my back. I haven't had a drink in 2 years. I haven't had a drink in 3 years. I'm not drinking. You know what I mean? Stay off. Get off my back. Have you done your fourth step? I'm working on it. I'm working on it. You know, which is alcohol cone for steak. I ain't never going to do it. You know, it ain't never going to happen. Once alcoholics realized that they could stay sober and they were settling for that, and they, hey, listen, you're raping 15 chickens and a banana and whatever it is, and you got 7 years, and I'm saying, and they're going to, they don't care. Hey, come up here and get your medallion. Because what we celebrate here is physical sobriety. But the bottom line is that after a while, the bottom line is nobody gets away with anything.
That's right.
Nobody gets away with anything. You can run that horse only so far. And then the drinking happens, or the divorce happens, or the jail happens, or the something happens. And so this guy calls me up today and he says, and this is a true story. We're not going to talk about the fourth step now. I'm going to do that next week when I have more time. But we're going to talk about something. So the guy calls me up and he says, I had 13 years and then I drank. And now I have a year. Because let me tell you something about this disease. Remember we said the big book's right. It says, here's the real disease. Here's the real disease. And I'm not pointing my finger at you, but I am, because you're an AA and you say you're alcoholics and I'm an alcoholic. And this is what the book says. It says you're selfish. You're self-centered. You're driven by 100 forms of fear. You know, you're self-delusional. You know what it means to be delusional?
Yes.
Your alcoholic life seems the only normal, whether you drink it or not. Your way of thinking seems normal to you. It's normal for you. It's normal for you to feel sorry for yourself. It's normal for you to think that it's everybody else's fault. It's normal for you to tell people, go fuck yourself, go back and not listen to them. It's normal for you to not hear a clear statement. It's normal for you, no matter how smart you are, when your wife says to you, if you come home drunk one more time, I'm leaving you. It's normal for you, sober, to say, what the hell should you mean by that? That's normal. Listen, that's normal for an alcoholic, for a genius, someone who's a genius, to say when they hear something they don't like, to be confused. Listen, when you're dealing with somebody who the judge or the wife or something says, you do that one more time, you go into jail, and they say, what the fuck is he talking about? You know what I mean? And they're sober. They're not drinking. It's not because they have an alcohol problem. It's because they're crazy. And the problem is alcoholics don't understand how crazy they are. So it says we're selfish, we're self-centered, we're driven by 100 forms of fear, we're delusional, we step on the toes of others, they retaliate, seemingly without provocation. We have no idea why this is happening to us. An alcoholic has self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so, because he's made decisions he's learned based upon self, which puts him in a position to be hurt. So above everything, we must get rid of the selfishness. But how can you get rid of something when you don't even know what it is? How do you get rid of a selfishness when you don't think you're selfish? When you think you're basically a good guy, when you're basically evil, you know? And left to your own door. Well, I asked my sponsor what that paragraph meant. He says, what it means is you don't give a shit about anybody except yourself. And I didn't understand that because I thought I was basically a nice guy. I mean, I would tell people, I says, I'm not Adolf Hitler. I'm not a murderer. That's pretty much my standards, by the way. You know what I mean? We tell ourselves stuff that, so the guy with 13 years who drank, and we're very well defended. God forbid you go back up to an alcoholic that hasn't been slammed onto his knees or is facing life imprisonment and try to tell him something about himself. Get ready. He's going to tell you everything he knows about your mother. You know what I mean? It's going to happen. We're not really nice people when it comes to people telling us about ourselves. We have to learn the hard way. So this guy says to me, he says, I got 13 years. I had 13 years and then I drank. And he said, and now I got a year. And I said, you had 13 years and you drank. He said, yeah. And I said, so I was sober 13 years. And I say to him this, because I'm sober a long time and I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I know a little bit about the disease. I said, you weren't sober. He says, no, I was sober. I said, no, you weren't sober. I said, no, I was sober. I said, you were not sober. Listen to me. Sober people who have 13 years do not drink. Do not drink. Do you understand that? Because if sober people drink, then we're all in a shitload of trouble. Sober people don't drink. He was dry. He was dry. You were dry. You were what you're saying, you were physically sober, but you weren't spiritually sober. You weren't mentally sober. You weren't emotionally sober. You weren't, or else you wouldn't have drank. And he says, well, yeah, I guess you're, he says, well, I did get complacent. Well, I was a little complacent. I wasn't. Then all of a sudden, the truth starts coming out. Yeah, I stopped going, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, when confronted and he listens and he learns, and that's the other thing you need as an alcoholic. Not only do you have to have the sickness, not only do you have to be physically sober, but you have to be experiencing all sorts of problems and bullshit that's affecting you so badly that you're going nuts, that you realize you're crazy. And then the next thing is you gotta be in a position where you're surrounded by mentors or sponsors or rooms where you can say blah, 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 and they can say whatever they say to point you in the right direction. which may take months or years. So this guy's been telling him, he's delusional. He's been telling, this is the story. He's, and this is why the fourth step is so important. Because we are delusional. We look back on our lives and we tell ourselves lies. We realize, this is what it says, we realize that we have made decisions based upon self, which puts us in a position to be hurt. And the truth is, you can get sober physically, but you don't quite understand why you're in the jackpot you're in. When my sponsor said to me, your best thing on your best day got you in this jam. When my sponsor said, listen, you know as much about life as a dog knows about his father. When my sponsor said, why do you do the shit you do? Why do you say the crap you say? And I said, well, that's just my personality. And he said, well, you got to get rid of that personality because that's what's killing you. I didn't understand what the hell he was saying because I was a lawyer. I was successful. I made money. I had a wife. I had a child. I had a home, which I left and I burnt. Carl Manager said alcoholics, some men and women go out to destroy themselves. Here's the problem. I had everything. I'm brilliant. I'm wonderful based upon what the world thinks. I'm looking good. And I'm a fucking basket case. So I got, well, who was making all the decisions in my life? Oh, yeah, that was me. So, and I have no idea. And that's part of the four. That's what we're going to get into next week. We talk about four and five. And I got to have some sort of clear understanding is, okay, you're saying I'm crazy. You're saying I'm making decisions based upon self. I need to see what that looks like. I see it to a certain extent when people talk. A guy tells his story. I did this. I did. I said, oh, man, I did that. Oh, man, I did that. I knew that. But I need to sit down. I need to map it out so I can see, holy shit, I really am crazy. I need to get to the point where I was feeling like I was a victim. I'm a victim. Why are they treating me like this? To get to the point where it says, man, I can't believe that people are still talking to me. I was such an asshole. I need to see this thing for really what it is. And that's what the fourth step is all about. So it's like I'm telling this guy, what, 13 years? I said, you were never sober. You know, you were dry. That's what you were. You were dry. You were just waiting for a drink. And he says, this is what he says. He says, man, you're right. It's like this. 13 years, slips, and then 1 year sober. And he tells me this lie about himself that he's been telling himself all the time. I had 13 years. And you had nothing. You had nothing. You weren't sober. You weren't sober the way old timers think about sober, emotional sobriety. The real problem with alcohol is according to the next frontier is emotional sobriety. The real problem with alcoholics, what Bill Wilson said is unhealthy dependencies. You didn't understand how screwed up you were or what bad shape you were or how you were, because if you understood how you were still under the lash of alcoholism and any second you could have gone because you're crazy, if you had understood that, and if you understood that above everything you had to get rid of it or else you would die, and God makes that possible, you'd have 15 years now. And you wouldn't have drank. But you were under a misapprehension. Because people told you, don't worry about the God thing. They said, hey, don't drink and go to meetings. Everything will be okay. And that's what you bought into. And you didn't realize while you were in the room that there were a whole bunch of people that were saying, I drank after 2 years. I drank after 5 years. I drank after 10 years. And there was one guy who had like 30 or 40 years. And he was talking about emotional sobriety. He wasn't even mentioning alcohol. He was talking about the sickness. And the craziness. He was talking about the real disease that centers in your mind, not your body. Right? So I'm going to end with this story. I always like to end with a true story. But all these stories, here's the great thing about these stories that happen in our lives, that they all teach us something, don't they? Some of the stories teach us something, and then 5 years later, when we tell the same story, they teach us something else. Because as we grow, our perception changes. We get a new perception because of repeated humiliations. You say, man, so this story tells me something, several things. It may tell you something. 5 years from now, you may think about the story. It may tell you something else, but it's about our disease. I was working Relay. I did 8 years on Relay. Relay is what happens is if you call Dade County, Florida, AA, you call up AA, 3 o'clock in the morning. I worked Relay from 9 or 8 o'clock at night on Friday night until like 9 o'clock the next morning on Saturday. So for 8 years, if anybody called up Alcoholics Anonymous, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, looking for help, they got me, which is why over an 8 year period of time, nobody got sober. Because I don't like people disturbing me, you know what I mean? You know, in the big book, it says this one line. It says, our first example is a friend, shall we call Jim? This man has a charming wife and family. He inherited a lucrative automobile agency. He had a commendable World War record. He is a good salesman. Everybody likes Jim. He is an intelligent man. Normal so far as we can see, except for a nervous disposition. That's me. I've got a little bit of a nervous disposition. This is a little problem. So I'm on relay one night and I get a call from a gal and she's physically sober and it's 2 o'clock in the morning. And she says, my name's so-and-so. And I said, yes, how can I help you? He says, listen, I am a nurse. As a matter of fact, I am more than a nurse, I have a doctorate in nursing, a PhD in nursing, okay? And I teach nursing and I supervise nurses. And I'm under PRN, which if you know anything about that, that's, she's apparently gotten into trouble with drugs or alcohol, whatever it is. And so she's being supervised. And I'm a single mother with a child. And he says, and I haven't had a drink in a year, but yesterday he says I had a drink. And he says, and I am very, very concerned. He says, you know, I want you to know, I'm obviously very, you know, well-read, very educated. I've been through treatment. I've got a PhD and I need to know, because if I drink and they find out, I'll lose my license. I'll lose my child. I'll lose my job. I'll lose everything. So I need to ask you for help, if you could help me and give me some guidance. He says, but there's only one thing. I don't want to hear anything about Alcoholics Anonymous. So I said, well, listen, and I had about 7 years of time. I said, listen, we got two problems. He says, the first problem is this, you know, I'm 7 years sober. I'm an attorney myself. I'm a professional guy. And the problem is I couldn't stop drinking. And I came to AA and I stopped drinking. And the only thing I've done is not drink, go to meetings, work the steps and do the program of AA. And that's why I'm sober. So if you get on the phone with me and you ask me for plan B, I don't got a plan B. There's no conversation because I don't got plan B. She says, I understand that. He says, well, what's the second problem? I said, well, the second problem is you called Alcoholics Anonymous. An example of alcoholic brilliance. That's why we're so, that's the disease of alcoholism. That's why we drink again, because we're crazy. And one of the keys to seeing exactly where the disease is and how we're crazy, even now, I need to see how I'm crazy now with 3 years, how I'm crazy now with 5 years, I'm crazy. You know, the gal called me up then, she was all squirrely over 1 year. I said, how much time do you have? She says, I got 1 year. I said, you got 1 year and you're crazy and you're depressed. I said, yeah. He says, that's what 1 year feels like. He said, don't panic. I said, you're exactly where you're. I mean, sometimes we need to understand, you think you put the plug in the jug and you think everything's going to be wonderful. I'm never going to have a bad moment. Sometimes you need to hear, listen, you're experiencing the dis-ease, but you called me and I noticed you haven't had a drink. She says, no. I says, you're doing great. You know, you're going to work the program. This is going to work. Sometimes we need to hear. We need to learn as we go along. Keep on learning what the disease looks like and what the fourth step is. And the fifth step, one of these things is that's the spotlight into how crazy it's the learning experience as to how crazy you are. The first step in getting out of jail is knowing you're in jail in the first place. Okay, you figured out you're in an alcoholic jail. So you get that taken care of. Now you got to figure out about the lust jail. Now you got to figure out about the envy jail and the greed jail and the vanity jail. And why can't I have this? Why can't I own this? You know, you got to figure out about all those other jails and bondage that you're fighting with that all part of alcoholism. You know, let me tell you something. A good looking redhead for me is like a bottle of scotch with legs. You know what I mean? Tell you something. You guys don't know what it's like, let me tell you. You know? Have a broken heart, you know? Nobody knows about a broken heart. So thank you very much. God bless you.